Better Dirty Than Done, an inspirational true story. This book was written by Rick Chaplesky. This audiobook is narrated by Rick Chaplesky, the author. That's me. I hope you enjoy this story, and thank you very much for spending some time with me. This book is dedicated to my son, Lance. Lance, wherever I am, you can call home. I love you very much. Chapter 1. The hospital always smelled like bleach. The sanitary, antiseptic scent never wavered and could be counted on for early morning or late afternoon appointments alike. The walk today from the parking ramp felt warmer than normal coming out of a Midwestern winter, though just below 40 degrees, I'm sure many would simply say it was cold. My glasses didn't fog entering the warm, freshly Cloroxed vestibule. The unpredictable mid-April weather, tax day weather, made outdoor dressing so difficult. I had lost count of the number of visits I made here. Scans, shots, surgeries, the place smelled, well, like an alternative home. Honestly, I felt so regular here that I had a preferred parking space in the ramp, with as few stairs as possible to the entrance. My own personal parking stratagem. I admired my own brilliance every time I found it unoccupied. Today, Tuesday, another link in the chain of uncertainty, started out as an ordinary day, featuring radiology on the menu and a one-hour CT scan of my lower back, the iliac crest if you must. Navigating the hospital took no effort anymore. No sign reading or uncomfortable questions to volunteers at the front desk required. Radiology, third floor, one elevator ride, and two left turns, and there I was. Hospitably greeted and ushered to a men's dressing room, I stripped down from my easy access sweats and t-shirt to the requisite gown and waited my turn seated on the cold bench. Have you ever noticed that if you don't secure your gown and sit on a wooden, riveted bench, you get little freezing metal ass bites? Undress and digress, I guess. Rick Zappa, Zalepa, Ski, asked the technician. Hi, me. I was used to nobody being able to say my name. Let's go in the back, he said, and we went in the back. Can you verify your birth date, he asked, and I acquiesced. Have you done one of these before? He asked. I did this about a month ago, and you were the technician. I always had a chip on my shoulder during these visits and didn't have time for underperformance, lack of memory, or frankly, any pleasantries. Okay, do you remember how this is done? He asked. Yes. Okay, hop onto the table. I'm going to push some solution. Did they start your line? I hopped onto the table and laid down. I showed him my arms, no lines. Oh, okay, right or left? I have a Hickman, I said. I lifted my gown to show him two catheter lines surgically inserted in my chest. Oh, I remember you now. He laughed as the mark of this repeated joke. Showing people plastic tubing emerging from my chest became my trademark prank. Okay, you're going to feel a little flushed like you have to pee. We'll push this up front, then once again about 20 minutes into the procedure. Oh, I forgot to ask. Did you drink your contrast? Yep. He left the machine room for the immediately adjacent control panel suite. You ready? I heard him say this through the intercom and gave him a thumbs up as the IV press disgorged solution into my body. It felt like a warm, surging feeling. I floated as the solution reached all my extremities. The table advanced into the round, circling scanning machine, and a series of clicks and whirs overwhelmed my ears. I closed my eyes and enjoyed this escape from feeling nauseated and hopeless. I laid back on the flying table and dropped out for what I had hoped was the final time.
Okay, again?
I heard, but I didn't understand him. Then came the second wave. The ever-present solution filling my chest, then warming as it flowed to my extremities yet again. Warm, flying, another mid-procedure escape among the clicks, whirs, and silence.
You're done.
The lights came on and the technician returned. Adjusting my eyes, it was over.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?